Hello there, Astral Consciousness community. Thank you so much for joining me on another week. I am here to give you your weekly forecast for November 29th through December 5th. I'm going to try my best to keep this forecast, you know, at around the usual 20 to 30 minutes. But there's a lot to say about this week. It's a week that is really good. It's a really good energetic week. I don't think that I've seen such a positive, uplifting week in a long time, where the energy is really not just about being introspective, but actually about taking action and us feeling supported along the way, at the very least by the cosmos, right? The reason why I find this so interesting is that we are ending a cycle. We're ending an 18-month cycle as we head into the new moon eclipse in Sagittarius of December 4th. We're headed towards the end of Jupiter in Aquarius cycle, which isn't going to happen till the very end of December. We're headed towards a Venus retrograde, which again is going to happen in mid-December, but it's still another cycle. And so this is all important to keep in mind and to take into consideration, because it's not like me talking about these aspects for one day or for the week. It doesn't mean that they don't play on one another. They do play on one another and they matter a lot. And it's important to keep that big picture in mind, right? So, with that said, we begin the week with Monday, November 29th, with Mercury in Sagittarius creating a trine to Chiron in Aries. So, a Mercury in Sagittarius, just to give you a little bit of an Astro 101, Mercury in Sagittarius is known for being in detriment, what we call in detriment in Sagittarius, because naturally Mercury is ruled by Gemini. So the sign directly opposite of Gemini is Sagittarius. Therefore, it is considered that when Mercury is in Gemini, it's in its home sign. It is exactly where it likes to be. It's critical. It's about data. It's about communication. Being in Sagittarius, which is the sign farthest away from Gemini, it's 180 degrees across from Gemini, it's considered to be the farthest it is from its comfort. And the reason for that is that while Gemini can look at small data, for instance, Sagittarius looks at the big picture and has the tendency to miss details. Now, where we are now, I feel that Mercury being in Sagittarius and looking at the big picture, trusting the big picture, having hope and faith in the big picture is very appropriate, if you will. And the reason I think that is that, again, we are in the middle of a shift in cycles. We're towards the end of the Gemini Sagittarius eclipses, which closes off an 18-month period in which we've been working on the Gemini Sagittarius parts of our charts. We are nearing the end of Jupiter, which is the ruler of Sagittarius, but currently transiting the sign of Aquarius, and soon leaving the sign of Aquarius and moving into Pisces at the end of December. For us to understand that we're ending a cycle that was really significant, and if you don't know anything about those cycles, just think about how you started 2021 and where you are now, specifically or particularly emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. If you've had a lot of shift within, it tends to manifest without. So think about how much your life has shifted. Think about what you see in your physical reality around you now versus what your physical reality looked at the beginning of the year, and understand that that's not just you making decisions and saying, I'm going to move to a different place. Something inside of us shifts. Therefore, something materializes in that shift. It's simply an extension. any physical changes that we see are simply a materialization of something that has already happened within. So the whole thing about, you know, cutting your bangs, you're probably going through something, right? I've cut my bangs plenty of times in the past, no regrets, but I think you catch my drift. So with this end of cycle, with these ends of cycles, with this turning point that we're in, it's important that we have faith, hope, and not just aimless and blind hope. When I say that, I mean that we trust that things will unfold in the way that they're supposed to, and that we are okay within in order to go along with life and what it brings to us, especially during eclipse season. We are in eclipse season. This eclipse season doesn't end till January 2nd when we have a new moon in Capricorn. So the eclipses are about allowing life show us what we're truly aligned with. And in Sagittarius, it's reminding us, especially Mercury in Sagittarius, think big. Dream big. That which you didn't think you were capable of in the beginning because of a certain belief system that you had about yourself. And remember, the South Node in Sagittarius for the last 18 months has been about releasing old narratives and really healing that part of you that didn't believe in yourself enough for, you know, a particular reason. Oh, I'm just the black sheep of the family. I am just an alcoholic. I am just lazy. I am just this. No, to come out, whatever that has meant for you, whatever belief system you had about yourself at the beginning of the year, notice how that is no longer true for you now. And so if you had to work with that and now you're aiming towards something different, towards something new in your life, understand that there is so much of you that you've left behind, parts of yourself that you have outgrown, that releasing those part of yourself kind of increases the sense of uncertainty. It does. It really, because we leave behind things that are familiar. And when we are not familiar with our surroundings or with what makes us feel safe, right? We doubt, and we can't see the big picture, and we can't see hope in that. So my point is that trust, believe me, because you have worked, you have grown, trust that you have an internal compass that's going to guide you in the right direction. That if you have a dream that you want to go after, trust that you are capable of that. You may not know exactly how that's going to pan out, and that's okay. But you can trust that because you have had to go through so much within you, at the very least in the last year, let alone the last two almost, that there is a different part of you that you've touched, that there is a different part of you that is your home base. It's your internal home base. And notice that when we have like a home base to come back to, when we have a home to come back to, everything just kind of feels right. And for the last 2 years, the cosmos have been not just nudging us, they have thrown some stuff at us for us to come back to the fact that we are our own home base. And that when we can come back to that, when we can remember that, we don't have to have all the facts. There's a really big picture and we don't know the details of it. But you know what? I've always got me. I can always come back to this place internally that calms me down. We all have it. And I think that regardless of the extent of which you feel you are there or not, we are closer to that within ourselves than we've ever been before. So Mercury in Sagittarius, I'm still on Monday, November 29th, by the way. Mercury in Sagittarius is creating a trine to that Chiron in Aries. Chiron is the wounded healer. It represents a karmic wound that we're meant to deal with in this lifetime. Currently, transiting Chiron is in Aries. The wound is, and Aries represents the self. The wound is, who am I? And who I was is no longer who I am. And that hurts a little because who I was made me feel really comfortable. But I know that I've outgrown that. So how do I get used to and release the pain from being this new me? And by pain, I don't mean that it's actually painful. I mean that it can be a little nerve-wracking. It can be different, right? So Mercury and Sagittarius connecting in a trine in a really pleasant aspect to Chiron in Aries is trust the pain, quote-unquote pain that you've been through, trust the process that you've been through, and know that you have all that you need inside of you to dream big, to do things differently, to go after what you want. Also on Monday, November 29th, we have Mars in Scorpio creating a trine to Neptune retrograde in Pisces. In a nutshell, this is strategic action, Mars in Scorpio, towards a dream, Neptune in Pisces. So here we have these two aspects starting off the week. Dream big, trust yourself, strategic action to make the dream come true. So what is this, how can this look, right? I don't like my career anymore. I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm going to create a plan. So I'm done with my career. I'm done with this part of my life, Mercury and Sagittarius, because it makes me miserable. And this is not who I am right now. Chiron and Aries. So from here till 6 months out, this is how much I need to save. This is how much debt I need to pay off. This is how much blah, 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 in order to be able to leave this career that no longer serves me. That is Mars and Scorpio strategic action based on a lot of the stuff that we uncovered about ourselves from Scorpio season, right? Mars and Scorpio strategic action trine Neptune and Pisces, because my dream is fill in the blank, whatever your new dream is. Very silly example, very simple, but it seems to get the point across, especially because it's something that a lot of people relate to nowadays. Apply that example to whatever fits in your life and understand that this is the way forward. This is the way we move ahead. Okay, so Tuesday, November 30th, we have the Sun in Sagittarius still creating a trine to Chiron in Aries, and creating a sextile to Saturn in Aquarius. So here we go. So Mercury created a trine to Chiron in Aries on Monday, and now the Sun is doing what Mercury did on Monday. So the Sun illuminates, right? Connecting with Chiron in Aries. It illuminates not just the wound at this point, not just the wound, because one thing that we have to understand is that currently Chiron in Aries is at 8 degrees. Chiron has been at 8 degrees. It was there twice in 2020, and it has been there once earlier this year. It is in at 8 degrees for a second time this year, getting ready to move forward to different degrees and never come back to 8 degrees. When the cosmos do that, it's because there's a part of the lesson of Chiron in Aries that we have had to work on for 2 years. Now that Chiron in Aries is going to move past 8 degrees and never come back to past 8 degrees, there's another part of Chiron in Aries that we will then have to work on. But again, it's another nudge from the cosmos that we're ending a cycle. Whenever we see the cosmos, or whenever we see several planetary bodies like on their way out or on their way into another ingression of another sign or whatever it is, there's a lot of endings that occur. And if they don't occur in our physical reality, they definitely occur within us. We are essentially saying goodbye to a part of ourselves. And this is especially true with the Sun, which represents ego, trining Chiron in Aries, right? So we're releasing a part of our ego that used to hurt a lot. And now we're transcending that and we're entering a different part of ourselves. And another thing that Chiron in Aries can represent in this case, and I don't think that my observation of this is too far off, is that Aries never stops representing the warrior. In a society, in a patriarchy that conditions us to follow rather than to be our own individuals, because it's easier to control masses in that way. It's so interesting how we have a sign in the zodiac, the first sign of the zodiac, that is described as the warrior. Aries is the principle of the I, and that I is a warrior. It's fire energy. It's ruled by Mars. It's ruled by action. It has always been so interesting to me how that would be the first sign of the zodiac. So what does that tell us? If the zodiac wheel is holistic in that one sign always picks up lessons from the previous, and that's how we get to the end. The fact that Aries technically, right, because it's the first sign of the zodiac, technically doesn't have a frame of reference and that it would be a warrior. I feel that that's the cosmos telling us, be courageous in being you. Because the only way that you're going to be able to fulfill anything that you want in this human reality is by courageously being you. And the fact that it's a warrior, perhaps, you know, in a much, much bigger perspective, there are systems at play that try to dim that light, that try to make us forget about who we are as individuals. That process of individuation requires courage. One, it requires courage to even go within ourselves that deeply, to really get to the bottom of us and our mechanisms and why we do the things we do. That takes courage. But also, it requires some courage of because we have to go against the status quo. It really does. And both Sagittarius and Aries are fire signs, but they're signs of independence, sometimes hyper-independence, but that's leaning towards the negative manifestation of each of those signs. But they both represent independence. Sagittarius represents the independence of being able to see beyond our horizon so that we can see what the entire world is made of. And Aries is, again, the principle of the I can do this. I am. Right now, the sun is also creating, like I said, a sextile to Saturn in Aquarius. So what's really interesting about this is that Saturn has also been at the degree that it's currently in, which is at 9 degrees Aquarius. It was there back in February. So again, pay attention to where you were at the beginning of the year and where you are now. Okay. We're courageously meant to be who we are, and Saturn is saying, ah, Saturn represents limitations, foundations, discipline, commitment. Now you're committing to something else. Now you're committing to a different part of you. And that is what matters. You are much closer to you. You are much more in alignment with yourself than you ever have been before. So then we also have Mercury in Sagittarius also sextiling Saturn. There's an understanding. There's an understanding within us. Yeah, I've been through a lot this year. I've pushed my limits of comfort this year, and I'm better for it. I'm better for it. And now I don't know the details of what my future looks like, but I've got me, and that's good. Because all of a sudden our foundation, again, it's not based upon an institution. Our foundation is not based on anything outside of us. If anything, it's reminding us to come back within. Also, on Tuesday, November 30th, we have Venus in Capricorn, sextile Neptune in Pisces. So this is similar, right? This is similar to making dreams come true, kind of what Mars is doing by connecting with Neptune in Pisces on Monday. Venus in Capricorn, feminine receptive energy that is grounded, that is sure, that is responsible, Capricorn. Neptune in Pisces, dreams, boundlessness, sky is the limit, right? But Venus is in its pre-retrograde shadow phase. So here we are in a space where the cosmos are telling us, dream big. You've got this. You are capable of so much more than you've ever thought. And think about that. Think, this isn't me just telling you things that sound pretty, guys. Turn on the news, go through your Instagram feed, watch anything, right? And again, be cautious of what you read. But you notice how things are moving forward. I think that cryptocurrency, for instance, I'm not a cryptocurrency expert by any means, but I think that it serves as a really good example to where what I've read about it is that cryptocurrency has the potential to really close the gap when it comes to social classes, financial classes within people. Why? Because the common person can open up their Venmo account, and if they have some money in their Venmo account, they can say, I'm going to invest, I'm going to put some money into some crypto, into some cryptocurrency, and see what happens. The stocks do what they do, the value goes up, and all of a sudden, you see people becoming millionaires overnight. Why am I saying that? Because the sentiment is the same, that all of a sudden, all of these things are changing, that at least my hope is that will level out the playing field in a really drastic way. And there is something happening outside of us. We see it in our very external reality that is saying this has the potential to take someone from, you know, being poor or middle class to being much more well off. Whereas in a patriarchy, which is what Pluto and Capricorn represents, which is being dismantled, right? That wasn't a possibility. It was extremely hierarchical. You had to freaking climb that ladder and kiss a whole lot of ass along the way, right? This is different. So the cosmos are presenting us with these opportunities that are right in front of us. But if we're still functioning under our old belief system, we might miss this really great opportunity simply because it's new and it's different. I'm not saying go invest in cryptocurrency. Like I said, I don't know anything about it. I just find it really fascinating that what I do know about it is that, right? I look at everything through an astrological perspective. Everything around me screams, oh, that's Saturn in Aquarius. That's Jupiter in Aquarius. That's Neptune in Pisces. That's everything around me screams that. So just understand that that's what I'm trying to tell you. Okay, so what does this mean? Venus in Capricorn, value system, receptivity, femininity. In Capricorn, structures, responsibility. Sextile Neptune and Pisces, dreams. So here we are, releasing old narratives, but are we allowing ourselves to receive? Are we allowing ourselves to come back to our personal empowerment? This is why it's so important to have that Venus retrograde from December 19th to January 29th. And by the way, I've mentioned this before, but I'm having a workshop. It's a 40-day workshop in which we're going to work with the entire cycle of Venus retrograde in order to get in touch with this receptivity, healthy femininity. Because in order for us to dream big, in order for us to trust, we have to know when it is our time to sit back and receive. Otherwise, we're still going to, at a very fundamental level, be functioning under the same belief systems, thinking up in our heads, oh no, I don't believe that anymore. No, I'm way past it. Only to come to find that we are still functioning, subconsciously even, under mechanisms of fear, hurt masculine energy that simply wants to chase and attack and compete. When a Venus in Capricorn is healthy feminine energy grounded in a sense of self. Okay. All right. So Wednesday, December 1st, we have Neptune in Pisces moving direct. Now, Neptune has been retrograde in Pisces since June 25th. Remember, Neptune in Pisces represents a dream. But whenever the planets go retrograde, it is for us to revisit, revise, redefine, in a sense, whatever that planet in the sign, in the house of your chart means for you. Generally speaking, Neptune in Pisces represents a big dream. So it going retrograde from June till now, it slowed down. It slowed down, and Neptune in Pisces is a slow moving sign anyway. In Pisces, it feels that much slower. It rules Pisces. its entire energy is of slow. But its entire energy is about let go and let God. If there is anything in the zodiac that represents that, it is Neptune in Pisces far more than even Jupiter in Pisces. And it was about the reconnection to our bigger dreams by going deep and looking at ourselves. Think about how much has happened from June till now. We had a Mercury retrograde. We had a gnarly Mercury retrograde that went far beyond. I feel that its effects went far beyond after the retrograde itself. And then we jumped right into Scorpio season, which I feel have been the two most significant seasons, if you will, that we've experienced in the last couple of months. And all of this has started since early September, right? So all of those things that have forced us to look within, that have perhaps ended certain relationships, that have done certain things within us, our dreams are different. Our dreams are clearer. If there's still a big dream that you had at the beginning and now the dream continues to be the same, you're probably just much more connected to it and you feel much more confident to be able to accomplish it. And that's Neptune in Pisces going direct. So here's another thing. Neptune in Pisces going direct is the end of its retrograde cycle. Yet another cycle in the same week that is propelling us forward. This isn't going to necessarily be a time of introspection. As much as it is going to be about taking advantage of a momentum that we feel inside, of really concretizing things and perhaps try to move them forward before the middle of January. I'm sorry, the middle of December. Because the cosmos are really supportive and Sagittarius is about doing. It's a fire sign. So it's energy of action, right? Mars in Scorpio is strategic action. Mars rules Scorpio. That's really beautiful action-oriented energy. So again, Neptune in Pisces moving direct on Wednesday. Okay, so on Thursday the 2nd and Friday, December 3rd, we don't really have many aspects. What we do have is the moon and Scorpio on Thursday and the moon moving into Sagittarius on Friday. Okay, so one thing I want to say about the eclipses is that this week is going to be a really active week. I think that we're going to see, for those who have felt that certain things have been stagnant, certain projects, certain relationships, this is going to be the week that really starts moving things forward. Within us, we're probably going to feel like a little bit more energized, much more willing, much more optimistic towards the future. And again, not from a senseless, hopeless stance, but from a place where it's like, no, it's okay to believe in myself this much. Like, it feels safe to believe in myself this much. But because eclipses, any lunar event affects us physically, but especially during eclipses, you know, we tend to be a little bit more tired. I've noticed myself having to drink way more water than ever before. It's like, what the heck? Like, why am I so thirsty? When did I get so dehydrated? But you know, I pay attention to the seasons that we're in, and apparently eclipse season is water season. So please be mindful of how you feel. If you need to rest, be mindful of your dreams. Because this is Sagittarius energy, it can be restless. Sagittarius is known for being restless. So if you feel restless at night, just, you know, be kind to yourself, be patient, do what you need to do to get good rest. Okay. Now we finally get to Saturday, December 4th. Which is the new moon eclipse in Sagittarius that ends again. Is the last eclipse of the Gemini Sagittarius axis eclipses. So just to give you a bigger timeline, the first eclipse that we had in Sagittarius, it was a full moon eclipse in Sagittarius on June 5th, 2020. That's what set it off. And here we are in the last eclipse. It's a new moon in Sagittarius. From June 5th to December 4th, 2021, we've had 6 eclipses. 6 eclipses that have occurred in between that time. Think about some of the major things that have changed for you from June 5th of 2020 to now. I'm sure it's a lot. For a lot of people, it's been a lot. But more than anything, think about how your outlook on life, your perspective has changed. And this isn't just because, guys, we went through, you know, a pandemic and a lockdown and all of that. It was needed. And it's not an accident that these eclipses that have to do with releasing old belief systems and gaining a new one happened during a time in which we had no other choice but to look at life from a different perspective. Everything aligns. Everything is purposeful. Trust the big picture. Okay. So this is a really lovely solar eclipse. I'm going to do something with this. I'm going to do a separate special class. I'm not sure just yet. I'll make up my mind come Wednesday, November 30th. So stay tuned for that. But the eclipse is actually taking place on December 4th. Okay. So then on Sunday, December 5th, the moon leaves the sign of Sagittarius and enters Capricorn. Here's what I will say about that. A moon in Capricorn, I've said this before. So this means that next week, next Monday, we're going to start the week with a moon in Capricorn, which I love. We want to get stuff done. We want to be responsible. We take pleasure in adulting and meeting our responsibilities. Lovely, lovely energy to start a Monday. Here's what I'll say about it being on a Sunday. It can feel a little heavy, especially if you have had a week throughout the rest of this week in which you have felt a lot because of the eclipse energy, and things may come up that a little more things may come up that haven't come up yet. Eclipses just for some people tend to make them emotional. And with a moon in Capricorn, we can want to compartmentalize our emotions into a box and say, not now. And I understand that at times that may be necessary. But please, it's a Sunday. If you have the freedom, if you're just at home, please just allow yourself to feel. Allow yourself to really allow what comes up to come up and process it. Capricorn energy is not very tender and warm. It can be. We can be tender and warm. It takes a while, though. One of the negative manifestations or the lower vibrating manifestations of Capricorn energy is that in its incessance to be calm, cool, and collected, it doesn't allow itself to feel. I am not weak. I am not supposed to feel that. And, you know, I think that at this point, we know better. So take that moon in Capricorn. Hey, if you want to do some cleaning around the house, it's a great energy for that. We are in eclipse season. It's about releasing. It's about cleansing out. It's about purging. By all means, take advantage of that. Really lovely energy for that. But yeah, I took a little longer. I found it very important. I think it's a week that we don't want to overlook. It's a week that is going to make a lot of sense for us. I feel come probably not till March, but because of other things happening in between. But it's important. It's important, especially with that Venus retrograde. Remember, I mentioned it, Venus retrograde. This Venus in Capricorn is going to go retrograde. And the point of that is for us to get really in touch with our personal empowerment, with our sense of receptivity, with that if we do, that what we do is enough. And that we can trust that the universe is going to meet us halfway. That requires patience. That requires trust. That requires looking at the big picture. But during her retrograde cycle, Venus is going to come in contact with Pluto 3 times. The planet of transformation. Pluto's transformations are not easy. again, this isn't to scare you, but this is to, and when I say not easy, what I mean is that there are still little bits and pieces of our feminine, receptive, valuable energy that need to be cleansed from a system that has conditioned us to forget that. I hope this is helpful, and I'll talk to you next week.